and gentlemen, to this Monday edition of The War Room. We usually start with our Daily Dispatch, but today Donald Trump is live as we speak, taking and fielding questions in the Oval Office. We're going to go straight to Donald Trump. We'll do the Daily Dispatch on the other side. But first, here's the president taking questions live in the Oval Office in Washington, D.C. Let's watch.
Syria, Mr. President, on the U.S. troops killed in Syria over the weekend, why do we have troops in Syria?
Because we're trying to make sure that there's going to be and remain peace in the Middle East, and Syria is a big part of it. The new leader is a strong person, and that's what you need. This is a rough part of the world, and it's been amazing what's taken place in Syria. We got rid of Assad. We got rid of other people that were really bad people and that were in the way of peace in the Middle East. You know, we have legitimate peace in the Middle East, first time in 3,000 years. And we have 59 countries backing it. And we'll see what happens with Hamas. We'll see what happens with Hezbollah. But regardless, I mean, we have countries that want to go in and clean that out if we want them to do it. But they said in the case of Hamas, they said that they're going to disarm, and we're going to find out whether or not that's true. Hezbollah in Lebanon has been a problem. We'll see what happens there. But there is legitimate large-scale peace in the Middle East. And if there weren't, we wouldn't have been able to make all of those deals that we've made with the various countries. They would have never been able to do that. If, for instance, if Iran, if we didn't, with that B-2 bomber right there on the desk, if we didn't, of which we just ordered a lot more of the newer version, totally stealth. They could not see it. They knew it was coming. They had no idea where it was. It was pretty amazing, actually. Every bomb hit its mark perfectly, despite CNN trying to say differently. They didn't know. They just, you know, hoped. They hoped that we didn't, but it turned out that they did. Atomic Energy Commission confirmed it. So did Iran confirm it. They got knocked to hell. But if we didn't knock out their nuclear capability, we would have never had peace in the Middle East, because you would have had a dark cloud hanging over Saudi Arabia, Qatar, UAE, and all the other countries, and they would have never, ever been able to sign an agreement. Yeah, please.
How soon do you expect that international stabilization force to be up and running in Gaza?
I think that it's in a form, it's already running. In a very strong form, it's already. But it'll get stronger and stronger, and more countries are coming into it. They're already in, but they'll send any number of troops that I ask them to send. They want to see peace. We have more than 59 countries. We have many countries that aren't even in the Middle East, but they're fairly close to the Middle East. They want to be involved. So it's been pretty amazing.
Mr. President, this week, a man named Keone Rodriguez is going to federal prison for creating crypto privacy software. The case was started under the Biden administration, but your DOJ kept it going and secured the conviction. A lot of people in crypto are saying that this man should be pardoned. Are you familiar with the case at all, or would you be interested
in it? I've heard about it. I'll look at it. Well, you think he should be pardoned? Sounds like it. Sounds like, based on your question.
Many people on the
Rodriguez. We'll look at that, Pam. Okay? Let's take a look at it. You know, you'll have to tell me. I don't know anything about it, but we'll take a look.
On Friday?
Yeah, please.
Mr. President, market analysts are calling for a Santa rally. Typically, it's 5 trading days going into Christmas. In the first 2 trading days of January, that's a sign of market optimism. Do you anticipate, along with the historical low gas prices, that continuing into the first quarter?
Well, we've had the greatest stock market in history, Brian. We have a stock market that's gone up 52 times to new highs during a 10-month period, my 10 months. You know, my first 10 months, we set a record. 52 days, we had the highest stock market in history, including a day ago. And I didn't look today. Maybe it's up today. I don't know. But we had 52 altogether, and there's never been anything like it. And the reason are the tariffs have brought vast amounts of wealth into our country that countries that have taken our car companies.
All right, folks, we are listening live to President Donald Trump take questions, as he does, it seems like, almost every day. I think it's worth it to pause and remind ourselves that Joe Biden, I'm pretty sure, did one press conference the entire last year of his presidency. Yeah, it's different, and it's good to actually be able to ask this guy questions. More on the other side.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexshowstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room coming to you live on the Ides of December, 15th of December, 2025. We're waylaying our beginning of the show here. Talk about the Daily Dispatch. Donald Trump is live from the Oval Office, taking questions, talking to reporters, taking suggestions for who to pardon, because he really is a man of the people. Say what you want about him, and we're gonna say a lot about the failures of the Trump administration as they are multiplying. But think about how different it is today. When previously Joe Biden gave like one press conference every 6 months, and even then, there was a literal script that he was openly following. He'd get up and go, okay, next I'm supposed to call Jim from the AP, and you're going to ask me about this, and I'm going to say this. Go ahead, Jim. And it was like, well, what are we doing here? What is this? Pre-prepared questions and responses for the one press conference we get this year? Great. Meanwhile, Donald Trump every single day is taking any questions that get hurled at him and has a response to him. And then these people have the gall, have the temerity, have the sheer hubris to try to claim that they're concerned about Trump's mental health. Stuff it, you liars. Let's go back to Donald Trump here in the Oval Office actually interacting with the press. Isn't this something to behold? Let's watch.
He's ever seen before. That's going to be a massive industry. Without the tariffs, we wouldn't have that. Chips are coming in. Chip companies are coming in from Taiwan and other places, but mostly from Taiwan, which has almost 100% of the market. And we're now making chips. And we're not paying anything. It's not the CHIPS Act where they give billions of dollars to companies and then they just take the money and they run. That was under Biden. The fact that I set tariffs up and that if they don't make their chips here, they have to pay a big tariff. In order to send them into the U.S., they have to be here. You know, tariffs really work, in my opinion, almost only in the United States. They've been used against us successfully because we had presidents that had no clue. But tariffs really work. We have taken in hundreds of billions of dollars with tariffs. And more importantly, we've taken in countries and companies where, and even countries have sent their car-making people into the United States in order to avoid paying tariffs. And they'll build a plant and they'll hire our people to make the cars. But we now have, as you know, Toyota just approved $10 billion in manufacturing plants in the United States using our people. Without tariffs, none of that would have happened. Tariffs have given us great national security. There's nothing like what's happened in the last 10 months. Tariffs have given us tremendous national security and tremendous wealth. Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
All right, so that's Trump live taking questions from the Oval Office and answering all of them, really a wide range of questions and some pretty pertinent ones, even though he didn't really get down to it. The first question there that was live when we went to the video, why are troops in Syria? I think that's a very pertinent question. Why are National Guard troops in Syria of all the branches of government? Yeah, this is the National Guard. They guard the nation. Okay, let's send him to the desert to be attacked by the Islamic offshoot of the CIA moderate rebels that we used to overthrow Syria because we had to engage in a 15-year covert so-called civil war in Syria to try to overthrow Assad because he was such a dangerous terrorist. But now that he's overthrown, all of the dangerous terrorists are cropping up and attacking American soldiers. Something doesn't add up here. We get Scooby and the gang on this. Gee, I wonder what's really happening in Syria and why our soldiers are there. Yeah, we'll get into all of it. There's been a number of attacks over the weekend. And what you read into this, I guess, is largely informed by how you're coming into this conflict, this global conflict, ethno-religious political conflict. We'll investigate it. We'll look into these attacks and see if we can't find some sort of pattern. But it seems like this is all by design. It seems like everything's unfolding exactly like the Rockefeller Institute said it would, just like Klaus Schwab said it would. An angrier, more violent world is coming about, and we'll have to be ready to take advantage of, try to counteract this. And of course, if you looked at the lockstep document, as we always said, you have to see it as plan A, plan B, plan C. The lockstep document wasn't just some sort of neutral, objective observation of the way the earth might go and comments on that for fun, right? It was a planning document distributed to the world elite, the world controllers, to instruct them on the future course of events and various possibilities. And in the lockstep document, as we read it out over and over and over the last 5 years, because of how uncanny it was and its seemingly perfectly accurate prediction of the COVID-19 pandemic. Very coincidental. And that was the lockstep part of that document. There were four parts of the document. It's like better together, lockstep, hack attack, and some other one. But basically those three are A, B, and C. Better together is a picture of like a globe being held up by a bunch of diverse hands. And that was like if the American people voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016, right? That was the, we're going to pretend like everything is nice and sunny and flowery as we systematically destroy your sovereignty and take you over and impose corporate control. But you'll just be blind and happy and sedated while we do it. Then there was lockstep, which is, okay, well, what if the people of the world find out? But what if they don't come along willingly? What if they resist? What if they find out our plans for them and instead come up with different plans that don't involve their subjugation, exploitation unto death? What do we do then? That was the lockstep. That was plan B. Okay, then release the virus, basically. Oh, they don't want to go into the cage willingly? Well, whoopsie-daisy, it looks like a mysterious virus cropped up. Guess you have to go inside and get permission to leave now. But that didn't work either. We still resisted that. We had their number on that. We predicted and then watched in real time as they unrolled the worldwide conspiracy during COVID. It actually woke more people up than it enslaved. So now it's plan C. It's hack attack. And in this planning document, just like Klaus Schwab's final days, the World Economic Forum was all about, oh, everything's going to go into fractionalism and the central powers of the governments are going to be weakened while people just worry about, you know, basic survival. They're not going to be able to give so much to charity or whatever else. And the instructions from the Rockefeller Foundation, from the organizing managerial institutions above the globalists, was take care of yourself. Basically, the instruction to the elite were like, you're going to have to hire bodyguards. You're going to have to get compounds. You're going to have to not rely on the institutions of the government to protect you. You're going to have to, it's going to be private protection. And basically the instructions were consolidate, fractionalize, you know, stay together and manipulate things in small scale because the large scale things are going to be disrupted by a rising tide of populism. So it's hard for me to see all of the chaos going on around the world and not see the hidden hand of the people whose entire power structure is derived from, based on, dependent on manufactured crises. It's hard not to see their hands at work here. But the brilliant thing about false flags, the brilliant thing about their strategy is you can't exactly ignore it. You can't exactly ignore it. You can't exactly go, well, this is a false flag attack, therefore we're not going to pay attention to it. Like, well, people are still dead, right? The attack actually happened. You do actually have to fight back against the attack. Just like COVID. It's like, yeah, maybe it was released on purpose. It almost certainly was released on purpose from a lab as designed. But you still, it can still infect you. You could still catch the disease and get sick. So while you recognize, okay, the problem, reaction, solution, paradigm is at work here. They create the problem by releasing the virus. Now they provide the solution by lockdown, all that stuff. But you have to be able to thread the needle and go, okay, I don't want to fall for the fear mongering and just rush to, you know, daddy government to solve my problems when clearly they're the ones that created it. At the same time, I don't want to die from some lab created abomination of a disease that they've released on the world. So how do we deal with this? How do we deal with the rising tide of things like Islamic, radical Islamic violence while not giving in to the false dichotomy that says, okay, we have to have the anti-Semitism laws to deal with it? How do we deal with the reality of the attack while not falling for the false flag aspects of it? I think is sort of where we're at as a world right now. So yes, I do believe the destabilization is part of the Cloward and Piven strategy to collapse the West in order to usher in a new system. At the same time, the destabilization is real and has to be confronted, and the causes of it have to be dealt with and cured before the symptoms can be eradicated. We're in a tough spot. We're in a tough position. I think we can handle it. I think we just need to have a clear mind about all of this and understand first and foremost that the fear and the anger and the frustration is deliberately created because it overrides your logic. And you can actually take a deep breath, step back, look at this from a bird's eye view, and better understand where we go from here and how you deal with it in an appropriate and still powerful way while not succumbing to the mind wipe that is deliberately created fear. Let's begin, as we do every day here, with our daily dispatch, shall we? All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Monday, the 15th of December, 2025. Crazy story here. Rob Reiner's son, Nick, has been charged with murder following the deaths of his parents. Rob and Michelle Reiner were killed in their Los Angeles home on Sunday, December 14th. Nick Reiner, their son, has now been taken into custody following the deaths of his parents. He's charged with two counts of murder. They were killed in their Los Angeles home last night. Before he was arrested, People, the publication, reported Nick was being questioned by the Los Angeles Police Department's robbery and homicide division. He has been taken into custody. There are reports that there was a public argument between Nick Reiner and his parents at a Christmas party Conan O'Brien's house the night before are the rumors that we've heard. But this guy, the son Nick, was an addict. He had gotten clean and made a movie about his recovery, but clearly he's had a lot of struggles with addiction and homelessness. We can look more into this as more information comes out. Of course, Trump has used the occasion to dunk on Rob Reiner, which, okay, I mean, I understand the impulse. Rob Reiner was a not a easily tolerated man if you're a Trump supporter over the last couple of years. I get the impulse, but he is dead now. So, yeah, you won, Trump. Good job. You won. Let's have some grace and victory, please. It's just a little weird. We'll read his statement here in just a little bit. But Rob Reiner and his son exercised drug demons with Being Charlie at Toronto Film Festival. Yeah, that was the movie that the son wrote, and I believe acted in, if I'm not mistaken, about his own recovery. Anyway, we'll look into that, but really tragic event. Meanwhile, actually, almost all of our stories are tragic events in today's Daily Dispatch. Another tragic event, two victims named in Brown University shooting as police continue to search for the killer. Two students who died on Saturday's mass shooting at Brown University were being remembered Monday as a manhunt for their killer continued. Following the release by authorities in Rhode Island of the sole person of interest detained in the case. And this has been a series of debacles, as far as I can tell. and there may be a reason for that. The theory is, the rumors are, and I don't even know what to report here because basically everything that's been reported then later gets retracted. Again, this whole thing has been really an embarrassment. Donald Trump was tweeting out that they caught the guy, then he had to retweet out that they didn't. The FBI is basically embarrassed over this. I can't help but wonder if this isn't yet another sort of flare-up, another symptom of the overall nationwide, in, you know, every industry-wide phenomenon of the incompetency crisis. The competency crisis, the lack of competency, looks an awful lot like this, where you get a bunch of conflicting information, no evidence one way or the other, apparently, like no videos, despite universities in general, and this university in particular, being completely covered in cameras constantly. Two videos have been released, and to be honest, they, like, you might as well play the January 6th pipe bomber video. Like, the similarities are kind of striking, first and foremost, in the fact that it gives you absolutely nothing to go on. I mean, the videos are, like, almost worse than useless. There are two videos. One show the guy walking away, or girl walking away, we don't even know. The individual walking away from the camera for a few seconds, can't tell anything about it. And then here's the other one, the one that was most recently released. And it's almost an insult. It's like the police put this out and they go, if you know this guy, tell us. And it's like Bigfoot. It's a shadow walking along a wall. Like, oh, there he is. That's Jeff. Like, what? What? How is that the only... The man went onto a university campus, shot somebody in a classroom, shot multiple people in a classroom, and the two videos you have are less, give us less information than the photos out of Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. Like, what are we talking about here? So it's been incompetence abounds. And of course, this is also being treated and being interpreted as, and likely not too far off the mark, yet another targeted attack against conservatives. Apparently the main victim, the rumor is, the latest story, or I don't know, I imagine this will be correct at some point, wasn't a random shooting. It was targeted at this one individual. Other people were either caught in the crossfire or just became, you know, additional victims. But apparently the shooter was going after Ella Cook, a young girl, a second year student from Alabama, who was, quote, an incredible, grounded, faithful, bright light, according to Catholic Church of the Advent Birmingham, which paid tribute to her to service on Sunday. She apparently was a very outspoken conservative and the leader of the conservative club there in Brown University. So perhaps not a coincidence, as we just continue to see almost weekly examples of far leftist attacks against, whether it's National Guard members, shooting at Tim Pool's house, swattings on other, you know, right-wing personalities, shooting at Brown University. It kind of feels like we're in like an undeclared war a little bit. It feels like one side of the country is at war with the other side of the country. See, our side of the country, we understand. People at InfoWars get it. Of course, we're not going out and killing random members of the other side. We're not at that level yet because we still have this possibly delusional hope that the most powerful country in the world, with $1 trillion a year military budget, could perhaps be useful in defending the nation against the attack from inside by agitators who are trying to destroy us. One would hope. We are, in fact, holding on, clinging to a desperate hope that we could use the incredible, inordinate power of American law enforcement to actually protect the American people and not have to just devolve into clannish civil war, but we've been disappointed before. Meanwhile, on the other side of the globe, Australian police are investigating the Sydney shooting as terrorism. Sydney police said on Monday they expect to bring criminal charges against the gunman hospitalized after a shooting spree in which 15 people were killed in one of the deadliest attacks on the Jewish community in the nation's history. The authorities said they found evidence that the attack on Sunday at the city's famed Bondi Beach, which they said was carried out by a father and son, was an act of terrorism targeting Sydney's Jewish community during a Hanukkah celebration, but they declined to provide additional details, including the suspect's ideology or exact motive. At least 38 people remain hospitalized following the attack at Bondi Beach, a half-mile crescent of sand a few miles from downtown Sydney. I look forward to corrections on how to pronounce. It looks like Bondi to me, but I hear other people saying Bondi. Regardless, an absolutely brutal tragedy, and you got to worry for the people of Australia. As again, the stories out of Australia for the last several months, at least from our position, from the InfoWars side of things, every story out of Australia has been about the brutal crackdown on anybody in Australia that was warning that this type of thing would happen. Like for several months, the people in Australia were saying, we don't want any more of these immigrants. They are at odds with our culture. They don't care about being Australian. They're also violent and abusive. We don't want them here. The people saying that are the ones that have been ruthlessly imprisoned and thrown in jail and allowed to be attacked. Meanwhile, you've got, you know, Aboriginal Antifa members literally setting bombs off and not even getting jail time. And so all of the people in Australia who have been trying desperately to find a political solution to the growing problem of hostile immigrants have been brutally repressed by the Australian regime. And now the inevitable outcome of that is this. And of course, the Australian government's response is to blame the right wingers. So it's only getting worse. We'll get back to that. Okay. We have another attack that apparently was foiled. FBI disrupts credible imminent terrorist threat. Four members of radical pro-Palestinian group arrested, accused of plotting an attack on LA's New Year's Eve celebration. Kash Patel announced that a credible imminent terrorist threat targeting Los Angeles New Year celebration has been disrupted, and four members of a radical pro-Palestinian group have been arrested. Patel shared on X over the weekend, the FBI disrupted this credible imminent threat and arrested four individuals. They identify as a radical offshoot of the Turtle Island Liberation Front, an extremist group motivated by pro-Palestinian anti-law enforcement and anti-government ideology. They were allegedly planning coordinated IED bombing attacks on New Year's Eve, targeting five separate locations across Los Angeles. See, I've got questions about this, too. The designation, the characterization of this group as being pro-Palestinian gives the impression that that's what's motivating this response. However, they're called the Turtle Island Liberation Front. And if you don't know, Turtle Island is a, like, nativist, it's a Native Americans used to call America Turtle Island. That was their name for America, was Turtle Island. So this is, seems less to me like a pro-Palestinian movement and more like a sort of run-of-the-mill Antifa, anti-American, you're all colonizers, left-wing, pseudo-faux-nativist communist agitator group. That's what it seems like to me. But they're probably post-step pro-Palestinian as well. We'll look into that a little bit more. Finally, we have this. EU globalists threaten to dump $2.34 trillion in U.S. debt to stop Trump's Ukraine peace deal. The EU's pro-war globalist anti-American leaders are doing everything in their power, including weighing what's being called a nuclear option of deliberately shaking the foundations of the U.S. economy to block a peace settlement in Ukraine, even as President Trump advances direct negotiations aimed at finally ending the nearly four-long inter-Slavic war. So basically, the EU now, because they have no army and no ability to fight, are basically saying we're going to bankrupt the U.S. if you try to stop us from killing all of our own people in war. They're insane and suicidal. We have to save them.
I have not yet begun to fight. That's what the founder of the U.S. Navy, John Paul Jones, said back in 1779. And that's exactly where we are right now. You see this bad boy right here? That is a limited edition original InfoWars poster. We got about 1,000 that are unsigned, 500 that are signed, and that's it. And it is the final Hail Mary to keep InfoWars on the air. We've sold out of almost every product at InfoWarsStore.com. We had the bankruptcy, they won't let us order new products, but we were able to get this produced. This is an emergency fundraiser. It's myself, actual screenshot from the show, with a 357 Magnum aimed at the globalist, the truth gun, with John Paul Jones, the founder of the U.S. Navy, saying, I have not yet begun to fight. And 1997 to 2026, how long InfoWars survived. Hopefully we go past that with my signature. This is a limited edition poster, signed or unsigned. It goes to keep us on the air. They're going to have an auction. They're saying in January. They already had a federal auction that was rigged and fake, and the judge shut it down. This is a state auction. Good guys are going to try to buy InfoWars. We'll stay on air as InfoWars if they're successful. If they're not, we move on to the Alex Jones Network. But regardless, if we don't have funds coming in December and January, there won't be money for payroll. There won't be money for the bandwidth or the servers or the satellites. So it's absolutely essential you get this. And if we get shut down, you have a memento of the final resistance at InfoWars that is so historic to hang on your wall. And there's not just this poster. We've made 1,000 of these two other posters that I designed as well. One says, defend the West, 1997-2026, InfoWars, with the archetypal Knight of the West standing against the globalist. There's another, make no peace with evil, with another Knight of the Crusades standing with the cross in his hand against the globalist tyranny. Both are powerful posters as well. These are limited edition. You get signed copies if you really want to support us, or just get the regular posters as well if you want to support us. But all three of these posters are limited edition, right now exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. This is historic. We've come so far together. The deep state spent hundreds of millions of dollars trying to shut us down. We still got a chance to win. But if we don't have the funds coming in December and January, we will shut down. So I want to thank you all for your past support. I want to encourage you now to go to InfoWarsStore.com, where everything else is sold out and there's no more funds to buy more stuff to keep us on the air. And just by attrition, they will win and shut us down by not having money for payroll if you don't decide to bail out this organization that has had incredible results against the tyrants and has stood for you and your family and all of us collectively. So take action now and get the iconic limited edition I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones, Alex Jones poster, and Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West posters, limited edition, and know historically you stood with the tip of the spear at the key part of this fight, and we never gave up, and we never surrendered, and we stood and fought on our feet instead of groveling on our knees as slaves. Thank you so much. I fired the bat signal. Thank you for all your past support, but now is the critical time to take action at InfoWarsStore.com for these three limited edition iconic posters. The ball's in your court. Take action now at InfoWarsStore.com. It's now up to you.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Sha-la-da-la-la.
Welcome back, folks. The cruise in the spirit of the season. It's always a little jarring to me. I'm sitting here during the break watching the clock count down till we go live again. I'm just thinking about all the attacks, all these vicious attacks against right-wingers, just running through my mind all the various forms they've taken. So I'm picturing things like the Waukesha Christmas parade attack, radical black sovereign citizen guy running over little girls and just like all this crazy stuff. And then in comes the bright and cheery Christmas music. Tis the season, right? Tis the season. But you know, I mentioned in the last segment, this undeclared war. It's not even really an undeclared. It's an unresponded to war. It's weird. It's very weird. The left is just like, we are in war with you. And then they shoot us. And then we do nothing about it. Nothing happens. And then they laugh about it. And they say, we're going to do it again. And then they do it again. And then we just repeat the cycle. It feels wrong. It feels weird. It feels like this has been the case for the last 5 years or so. I actually made a very long video in like June of 2020. Like 75 unanswered questions about Black Lives Matter. And basically the whole theme of it was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure America is at war right now with itself. Like there's a civil war going on and one side just isn't fighting. It's been this way for 5 years, and it's getting to a really intolerable place. And the problem is that the enemy has hijacked the systems that would otherwise alert the American people to the fact that they're under attack. Because the TV isn't telling Americans that they're under attack, they cannot conceive of that. I don't know why. I think it's pretty obvious. Not sure why CNN has to, you know, dictate for you whether you can recognize patterns or not, but I would hope you were able to. Because the problem is, even if you go to Grok or ChatGPT and ask them about violence against right-wingers, they use mainstream sources that refuse to count the actual attacks against right-wingers as political violence. So then the result you get is like, yeah, you know, violence is cropping up here or there, and but it's about evenly split, and, you know, there's been, you know, like eight right-wingers killed in the last few years, which, you know, is eight more than the left-wingers. You have to admit that, but, you know, oh well. And then, like, I'm just sitting here thinking of all of the examples that I can summon off the top of my head that aren't included. So, you know, as I mentioned this in the last segment, this undeclared war, this one-sided war. And so they asked ChatGPT, was this ChatGPT or Grok, guys? I think this was ChatGPT, right? Oh, this is Grok. Okay, so yeah, they asked Grok, for notable instances of political violence targeting conservatives, Republicans, or right-wing individuals since 2016. Political violence in the U.S., Grok says, remains relatively rare overall, with data from sources like the Center for Strategic and International Studies and the Global Terrorism Database indicating that incidents motivated by partisan or ideological extremism affect a small number of people annually compared to non-political violence. Well, yes, duh. What? Okay. Obviously. What? Okay, thanks, Grok. Yes, non-political violence is, in fact, much greater than political violence. Okay. Sorry, that threw me off. AI is so smart sometimes and so dumb other times. Getting to the point, it says, you know, below is a table summarizing the major verified incidents involving physical shooting or direct attacks, excluding foiled plots without contact, like the 2024 Trump golf course attempt. I've focused on neutral sources like CSIS, ABC News, and Wikipedia. Oh, you know, neutral, objective sources like ABC News and Wikipedia. Two of the most biased sources you could possibly imagine. The total across these say that 11 people have been shot or physically attacked, with 3 killed and 8 injured. This excludes broader 2020 protest clashes, where an estimates of 50 to 100 Trump supporters on or right-wing protesters were assaulted, injured, but not always shot. So even this alone, like, why would you not include those numbers? They're a part of protests. Okay. So what they list is like the congressional baseball practice shooting in Alexandria, Virginia, where Representative Steve Scalise, Zach Barth, Matt Mika, Crystal Griner were all shot. Rand Paul, of course, was there. Scalise was critically wounded. The Portland protest shooting of Aaron J. Danielson, which is completely targeted assassination. The assassin going on to be celebrated by the likes of Vice News. Then, of course, Donald Trump was shot at in Butler, Pennsylvania. Corey Compitore was killed. David Dutch, a rally attendee, and James Copenhaver were also hurt. And then, of course, you had the Charlie Kirk shooting. They come to a total of 11 people, 3 killed. But again, what about all of the other attacks? Like, what is this list? If you present me this list, yeah, obviously, the left wing is far more trigger happy than the right wing. You don't have a comparable list of left wingers shot at or killed in the last 10 years. What about all of the other? What about the Waukesha Christmas parade? What about the? And I mean, it's kind of hard to even like know where to classify it, but I would consider any attack against America as being a left-wing terror attack. I mean, you have such an obvious overlap and such an obvious shared cause as like the, you know, Muslim terrorists that ran a truck down Bourbon Street on New Year's, and, you know, people who are killing Cory Compitore, like, it's the same impulse. I guess these are directly at right-wing individuals, but, like, would you not consider Luigi Mangione a left-wing assassin? I mean, the person he went after, Christian, white guy, rich, Republican, shot him in the back, celebrated by the left, celebrated by socialists and communists throughout the country. I mean, he's not on the list. I guess it sort of depends on where you draw the line. And how much of the, how much leeway you're willing to give to, you know, the shooter, their motivation. I mean, is Irina Zarutska not a victim of left-wing terror? Which wing of the political party is constantly demonizing white people as their enemies? Telling their side that white people, white Christians, slaughtered all the Indians when the Indians were just trying to be nice. So they kind of deserve to be killed. Stabber in a car full of non-white people. The instant the first white girl gets on, he gets up, stabs her, says, "Got that white woman." Not political terrorism. No, he's just insane. He's just crazy. So it's been continuous. And again, we have to learn how to deal with this. We have to figure out how to deal with this by both going after the actual problem, going after the core, the root of these issues, the disease that's causing the symptoms of the violence and the chaos and the misery, while not succumbing to the fear or the panic that would lead you into empowering the other set of people who hate you. And this is especially important when it comes to somewhere like Australia. And the only lesson that should be learned from the shooting in Australia now is that everything that's come before hasn't worked. Everything they're doing now is not working. Did not prevent this shooting. In fact, probably facilitated the shooting. When you have a media that is, you know, downplaying violent crime, when you have, you know, a government that's complicit in helping to cover up or downplay or do everything they can to avoid crushing violent left-wing activities. I mean, when you have a radical left-winger plant bombs in Australia and not even go to jail for it, what type of signal is that sending? Yeah, I would consider all of this part of the same sort of combat going on. And to add to that, like, the left is so sort of retarded anyway. It's hard to know where these lines are drawn. Because to be honest with you, there's a lot of people that are responsible for all of this that are like the first ones in the crosshairs of the very monsters they created. And it's kind of hard to feel like you're on the same side as them. But we kind of have to recognize that. I think you'll get what I'm saying. Let's go to clip number 11 here. Because this is in Southern California, a gated community where there's like all these, you know, rich, you know, jackass millionaire lefty socialist morons that run Hollywood live. And they have Antifa members decked out in like high-tech military garb standing at the gate of their gated community with a phone filming everybody coming in and out of the community. An obvious, overt sign of intimidation of like we're making lists of everybody that we're going to kill. Like that's the message that they're sending. Now these rich, out of touch jackasses in this California subdivision, are they on our side? I typically would not say they are, but like they're the ones that are allowing this to go on. So it's almost like, do I even feel bad for them? I'm not on Antifa's side, but what are we supposed to do here? You kind of asked for this. You kind of created this yourselves. And you're going to be the first heads on the chopping block when your little Jacobin friends start the reign of terror. So do you not recognize this? Do you not realize who exactly you're empowering? Let's go to clip 11. This should honestly be terrifying. This is terrifying, like especially really wealthy, rich people in, you know, Democrat areas that don't have guns. Like, you should be worried. Let's watch. There's a little black block dweeby goblin. He's not hiding. He's not like hiding in the bushes. He's not doing this in a clandestine fashion. And people have gone through the image, and the dude's got like multiple 360 degree cameras on him. He's got, you know, new iPhone. He's not exactly being shy. He's got the body, you know, cam thing. He's got his face covered. He's taking pictures of the people coming in and out of this gated neighborhood. Like, this is an act of intimidation. Are the people in this subject, are they worried about this? Are they concerned about this, maybe? That this type of open intimidation is taking place? And, like, I understand that the right wing is convinced that we've won and that, you know, the only thing you have to do is like, laugh at these guys. It's like, okay, you can laugh. Like, look at all the equipment he has on him. Now, I'd never call for violence, but that's, like, couple thousand dollars worth of equipment that guy's carrying around. I would take it from him personally. Do people really understand where things are getting to at this point? I don't think we do. Like, I don't think the left realizes the radicals that they've empowered. I don't think the right is taking this threat seriously at all. And I think the left wing, the radical ends of the left spectrum, are like very, very emboldened, very, very energetic, and organizing rapidly across the entire country. They are on the march, and we know that they plan on literally shutting down the entire economy in 2028, and they've got 2 years of plans that they're fulfilling up till then. So we could stop it at any point. We could put a stick in the spokes at any moment. We just have to take the threat seriously and then stop it. But we're not doing that. So don't say we didn't warn you. Let's go to, let's stick in America for now. We'll go to clip number 7 here. This is the DOJ announcing these arrests for the New York, New Year's Eve, LA, New Year's celebration attack they foiled. Let's watch.
The four defendants are Audrey Carroll, 30 years old. The pictures, I think we have them somewhere. We'll put them up here. Audrey Carroll, 30 years old, Zachary Aaron Page, 32, Dante Gaffield, 24, and Tina Lay, 41, each from the Los Angeles area. Each is charged with conspiracy and possession of an unregistered destructive device in violation of Title 26, United States Code Section 5861D. We intend to file additional charges in the coming weeks as we finish reviewing the evidence. The defendants are all radical anti-government members of the Turtle Island Liberation Front, which, according to their own social media, is an anti-capitalist, anti-government movement that calls for their associates to rise up and fight back against capitalism. One of the leaders of the organization, defendant Audrey Carroll, helped organize an even more radical faction of the group called the Order of the Black Lotus. Each of the defendants charged today was also a member of the Order of the Black Lotus. Carroll described this group to her co-conspirators as everything radical. As detailed in the federal complaint, which we will now make public, in November 2025, defendant Carroll created a detailed bombing plot to use explosive devices to attack five or more locations across Southern California on this upcoming New Year's Eve. Carroll and her co-defendant Zachary Page led the effort to obtain and build the bombs and to recruit others to join in their plot. Carroll's bomb plot was explicit. It included a step-by-step instructions to build IEDs or improvised explosive devices and listed multiple targets across Orange County and Los Angeles. Carroll also made clear her desires. She said, quote, "What we are doing will be considered a terrorist act." Carroll and Page also discussed plans for follow-up attacks after their bombings, which included plans to target ICE agents and vehicles with pipe bombs. Carroll stated that those plans would, quote, take some of them out and scare the rest.
So there you go. FBI disrupted alleged terrorist bombing plot in Los Angeles, according to officials. Explosive devices, were intended to detonate on New Year's Eve, officials said. And again, when this was reported, it was reported as a radical pro-Palestine group. And it's like, on one of their signs, they had the word Palestine. Turtle Island Liberation is liberating America from the American government. This is a American domestic terrorist organization of Americans. You're telling me, official news report, that there are groups in America that are operating as open, self-advertised domestic terrorist organizations, and they have names and various affiliations with other groups, the Turtle Island Liberation Front, the whatever else, John Brown Gun Club. So they all associate with one another and have allegiances to different groups that are all working with each other. So it seems like you wouldn't have to just arrest the four people actively involved in making the bomb, but rather everybody in their group, kind of like the left did on January 6th with the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys. It seems like since these groups, which could collectively be called Antifa, all have individual cells with names and like established power structures, that this would be the type of thing that would be incredibly easy to round up all of them before they commit a mass casualty attack. Am I missing something here? So now that we have these four, I imagine they're being questioned, they're being pressured, they're going to be sent away for a long time anyway, but you might be able to make their stay in the government hotel a little bit more comfortable if they were to give up their co-conspirators and other people involved, right? So this one arrest is going to lead to a sprawling investigation rounding up everybody, right? I mean, I'm sure we're going to see that coming soon. Or will this be portrayed as a anti-Semitic attack and we'll get more laws destroying the First Amendment? Which way are we going to play this? Which way are we going to take this threat, the domestic terror threat against Americans, against ICE, against Los Angeles, and people celebrating New Year's Eve? By a bunch of homegrown, radical, domestic terrorists, Antifa goons. I wonder. I mean, it seems like we get these incredible breaks that reveal this is sprawling interconnected network. Then we arrest only the people that actively shot at ICE agents, like what happened in Texas. Or we're actively building bombs to plant in LA. Like, yes, you should arrest those people and all of their friends. Where's that part of this equation? Again, same thing happened with the shooting in Texas. They're celebrating like, oh, the first arrest and convictions by these domestic terrorist Antifa cells. And it's all the people that were actively on the ground shooting at the ICE officers. Like, yes, I would hope that we would be able to put them away. I would also hope that you'd be able to get all of their co-conspirators, the thousands and thousands of people they talk to online about all of this. But we're not seeing that. Why not? You declared them domestic terrorists. Why aren't they being treated like that? Doesn't make any sense. It's like they're just doing the bare minimum. And, I have trouble even trusting this. Who knows? Who knows, whether the FBI even, like, helped spearhead this attack in the first place anyway. The agents said four were arrested in Lucerne Valley, where they were believed to be preparing to test explosive devices ahead of the planned attacks. They have been charged with conspiracy and possession of an explosive device. Pam Bondi added, after an intense investigation, the Justice Department, working with our FBI, presented what would have been a massive and horrific, prevented what would have been a massive and horrific terror plot in the Central District of California, Orange County and Los Angeles. The Turtle Island Liberation Front, a far-left, pro-Palestine, anti-government, and anti-capitalist group, was preparing to conduct a series of bombings against multiple targets in California beginning on New Year's Eve. The group also planned to target ICE agents and vehicles. So, At the same time, we have this shooting in Brown University that appears to be the targeted shooting of... basically, there's... As far as I can tell, there's really only two possibilities with the Brown shooting. Either this was a, you know, targeted killing of Ella Cook herself, perhaps because of some sort of, you know, just personal animus. So that's not totally out of the question. But if it's not that, if we don't find out that the shooter was like her ex-boyfriend, if the shooter wasn't, you know, targeting her in particular for some sort of, you know, perceived slight, that would put this in the realm of just, you know, domestic violence, which it very well could be. If it's not that, then this was just another example of Republicans being targeted for assassination by violent leftists. And it's one of those two things, as far as I can tell. Cook was the vice president of Brown's chapter of College Republicans of America. Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, also posted condolences on X, saying there are no words, thinking of her friends and family, especially of her parents. The only other person killed was Muhammad Aziz Umerzokov, a Uzbek national in his first year of study at the Ivy League University. His identity was confirmed by Uzbekistan's foreign ministry. Nine other people were hurt in Saturday's attack in the engineering building of Brown's campus in Providence during the school's final exam period. Authorities said late Sunday that a 24-year-old man arrested at a raid at a Hampton Inn about 17 miles from campus earlier in the day was being released. So apparently they used some sort of cellular telemetry to find this guy in this hotel. They arrest him as a person of interest, interrogate him, announce that they captured the guy, and then later have to release the guy. And they actually go so far as to say not only is he no longer a suspect, he's not even a person of interest anymore, which is very weird. Usually a person of interest remains a person of interest, you know, even after the suspect is caught, right? It's somebody who, like, is acting suspicious or they know the person. But in this case, it seems like this guy had literally nothing to do with this at all. So he's not even a person of interest anymore, let alone a suspect. That's how badly they missed the mark on that one. So they have nothing. They have nothing, and the videos they've released are almost worse than worthless. They are also nothing. More on the other side, folks. I haven't even told you, I know this is a mistake on my part, because the sale ends tonight to get 40% off everything at thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com, 40% off every single item in the store. It ends tonight at midnight.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
If you are
receiving this transmission. You are the resistance.